The sports voice in southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRVI, welcomes you to Coach's Corner, southeastern Indiana's top local sports show. Live from Ison's Family Pizza in Batesville, here's your host, Hall of Famer, Ron Raver.
Good evening and welcome to Coach's Corner. Ron Raver with you here this evening from Ison's Family Pizza. And our first guest, as usual, is Gary Moorman, Oldenburg Academy boys basketball coach. And Coach, another win over the weekend over Seton Catholic.
It was a nice victory over a solid Seton Catholic team. Kind of a tale of ups and downs. Fortunately, we had three ups and only one down, and so we were able to come away with a 53-34 victory over the Seton Catholic ball club.
More of your style of game, right?
more of the type that I like, but that was more over dictated by them. They're a very slug it out, tough type of team. They have a big kid. His last name's Moynihan. He scored 19 points against us. He was averaging 12 rebounds coming into the game, and we knew he was going to be a difficult charge to keep him under control. And sometimes when you have that really good inside pivot player, you tend to be more of a half-court team, and they were very much that. And we got off to a great start. We led 16-4 after the first quarter, And certainly I would elicit your advice or Coach Nobby's advice. How do you get 17- and 18-year-olds to, if you get a working lead, to think that it's possible that the other team could outscore you by just that amount the next quarter, which, of course, happened. We were outscored. We outscored them by 12 in the first quarter, and we're outscored by 10 in the second quarter. So you can imagine I was fit to be tied at halftime after, you know, having a comfortable 12-point lead after one. Then you're going in at halftime only leading by two and thinking, gosh, are we going to have to scratch this all the way to the end? Then, as typical, standard unpredictable high school athletics would have it, we come out the second half and play just as well and just as solid to start the second half and got the league back up to 16 then after three quarters and went on to win by 19. But our guys played very well except for that long lapse there where it's about a five-minute period of time where we just were out like we're playing basketball unaware of that we're actually keeping score and, you know, time is ticking off. And of course, that falls on me to remind them of that.
Who played well for you for the Twisters?
Well, we had several guys play very well. Jake Johnson had a real nice offensive night again. He had 22 points, six of eight from the free throw line. He does a great job of getting the free throw line every week. He gets there so often. Andrew Osterling had 11 points. He had been so sick the week before and came back and played much more of his typical game and really solid game, had 11. Dempsey Bowman, really solid again for us again, had 8 points. He's always right around 8 or 10 points for us, played very, very well. Got himself into a little foul trouble. He does that occasionally, but played very well. Zach Wegman has been our leading rebounder, scored 8 points for us and was really solid. Nick Follop had 2 points. And then Pross Moorman and Abe Streeter off the bench were really solid for us. All 12 guys got to play, so that's always nice when everybody gets in.
Coach, this week you got two ball games, Indianapolis-Chatard and Rising Sun. I think a tale of two different teams. I think Rising Sun is struggling a little bit at the start of the year, and Chatard is Indianapolis-Chatard.
Correct. And then, of course, we have a schedule change as well. We play Friday, Saturday, and Monday. So we play Waldron at home on Monday. That was a game that was scheduled to be on Friday of the following weekend, but we play in a tournament at Shortridge High School on Saturday. So we asked them. They were kind enough to move that game because otherwise we'd have been getting finished at 9 o'clock at Oldenburg and have to been playing at 10 o'clock in the morning in Indianapolis. And so we were able to reach out to them, and they were kind enough to move that game. But to talk about those opponents, watch Chatard with the players tonight. They started their season out against Danville, who I saw in the computer rankings is like number 6 in the whole state. They're number 1 in 3A. In the computer rankings, I think Silver Creek is likely ranked number 1 in the poll. But be that as it may, Danville played Chouinard minus the football players. And Chouinard is a little bit of a different animal in Indiana. A lot of times the kind of the really super elite athletes out of high school are the basketball players, and most of the other sports are kind of hoping that those guys will play their sports as well. At Chouinard, it kind of works the other way. All their elite guys play football, and the other sports hope to pick those guys up. And basketball is fortunate enough to have a lot of their football guys. So when I was able to contact Danville about Chouinard, their response was, don't go by our game. They had all these football guys sitting over there in street clothes. When they're suited up, they'll be different. And we watched them against Indianapolis, Washington, and took care of them quite handily. And Heritage Christian, who has had a really good, strong 2A program here over the last 5 or 6 years, they beat them by almost 40 points on Saturday night. So they are a very formidable group. They're extremely physical. I think I mentioned to you, I would compare them, their school, where it's located, and the type of kid they get, very similar to Cincinnati Elder. Okay, they're a little bit more of the blue-collar, inner-city private school. They're very, very tough, very physical, first-class kids. But you know you're in a battle when you play them. They're very physical. They'll scrap on the floor, defend you very hard. So it'll be quite a challenge on Friday night.
And then Rising Sun, that ball game, what do you know about them?
Well, Rising Sun, really about halfway through their schedule last year, kind of changed their strategy and became an extremely ball-control-oriented team. And in doing so, they had themselves in a position to upset Morristown. They didn't pull it off in one of their final regular season games. And then, of course, we watched them play Morristown in the first game of the sectional, and Morristown had to score in the final seconds to defeat them. And, of course, Morristown went on to win the sectional. So they've really changed to kind of suit their personnel. So they pose a lot of questions for us in that we, in past years, have been very much that style, too, a team that tries to play more of like a Connersville style, where it's a low scoring, grind it out at the half court. Well, we've been much more up-tempo this year, and so it'll be kind of a styles make fights type of game.
And then you said you got Waldron on Monday night. I think looking at some of Waldron's scores, they're obviously better than they were last year.
Yes, they're much better than they were last year. Their two best players return, and I think that'll be quite a challenge, mainly because not just because they're so improved, but the fact that it's the third game without a practice. Coach Nobby was mentioned to us off the air. You know, North Decatur's played all these five games, I think he said, in 8 days, and it does make a big difference to have practice time in between, and because certainly we all have things that we would like to correct and make some adjustments, and if you never get a chance to get on the court to practice, that makes it difficult. So the players like it. I can tell you my players are thrilled about it. They'd like that style all the way to the rest of the year. But anyway, we're very concerned about having three games in 4 days, but that's the way things fell, and so we'll slug it out as best we can.
And your Christmas break, I know you like to give the kids a few days off, but with a tournament coming up, when will you be able to give your kids some break over Christmas?
Well, we hope to give them Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, and then we'll practice for a couple of days, and then we have that tournament in Indianapolis, which has some really nice teams in it. You got Indianapolis Shortridge, which is a very capable team. Then you have Franklin Community, who has a long history of basketball standouts and fine teams. And then, of course, the Danville team that we had talked about, who has really run roughshod over their opponents so far. So fortunately, I say that, and we might get run out of the gym by Shortridge. Fortunately, we don't play Franklin or Danville in game one. We only have to play one of them. But that'll be a very challenging tournament for us that weekend.
And Danville is just another Indianapolis school anymore, because all that area out there is just one continuous city anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. When I first moved there years and years, many years ago, areas that were cornfields now have really high-dollar houses, and in high school down the road with thousands of kids, whereas I'm sure you remember those days very well. How things have changed there on the north side, and Danville, of course, on the west side. But Danville and Avon and those schools, which at one time, you know, in Indianapolis, we considered those schools quasi-country schools. Well, now they're very big, and you can't really tell when you leave Indianapolis and enter Danville. That's how the urban sprawl has spread out.
The other two on that side of town aren't too bad either, Brownsburg and Plainfield.
Yeah, they're very strong as well. And then you move a little further inside, and you got the mighty Giants of Ben Davis. So the west side of town is well represented. But all the sides of Indianapolis, if you're talking about basketball, you better play very well and count on some good breaks if you want to stay in the game with those folks.
How'd your reserves do last week?
They won. They won going away against Seton. Seton's on the JV levels, very young team. I believe their coach said they did not have a sophomore in the program, so their JV team was essentially their freshman team.
And did the C team for you get to play last week?
The C team played blue-white game, and then they played Milan. They lost to Milan in overtime. We won the blue-white game. Of course, we lost the blue-white game, too. but that's their favorite, right?
Yeah.
They love those blue-white games because they know everybody over there. And I'll tell you who really loves it is the referees. Nobody's complaining, you know. It's OA is getting all the calls and all the calls against them, and every basket's by an OA guy, so everybody's in a good mood for those games. As a matter of fact, at the varsity level, I had suggested that perhaps we make half of our games blue-white games. I could keep everybody a lot happier.
Coach, anything else before we let you go?
Nope, just happy holidays to you and Sally. We'll see you after the new year, and hopefully the weather will hold off for your drive home.
Okay, thank you, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and your family and your ball team as well, and we'll see you in January.
All righty. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas, Coach.
Okay, thank you. We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You're listening to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9, your FM dial, and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with three meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
Gehrings and Carrier have a complete line of home heating products to keep your family comfortable this winter without burning your budget. With smart temperature management, it's easier than ever to control your home's climate. And Carrier Energy Efficient Systems can help reduce utility bills without sacrificing comfort. For more complete comfort and greater peace of mind, turn to the experts at Gehrings and Carrier. Stop at Gehrings today, 316 North Main, Batesville.
We're sending out cards this holiday season, and we want you to be on our mailing list. Get a $75 gift card of choice when you get ETC Internet or another qualifying service. Get a gift card worth $150 when you select a new qualifying bundle, or convert your old ETC bundle to a current one for a $50 gift card of choice. Call 866-ETC-4YOU and get more when you go local. Paperless billing required. Residential customers only. Offers good through the end of the year and cannot be combined. Other terms and conditions apply.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Colin Albee, North Decatur boys basketball coach. Coach, you're in one of those situations where it was great for the school, for the Coach Stern, his football team did so well, but it backed you up and caused you to play five games, as we mentioned, or as Coach Mormon mentioned, in just a few days, and you've been very, very close, but you haven't got over the hump yet.
We haven't, Ron, and you know, we were excited that our, you know, football team had a very successful year and have some kids that experience that success that are now part of our basketball program. But as you mentioned, you know, it's a little tough right now. We're still searching for that first victory, and you know, I think it's right around the corner. And as Coach Mormon alluded to, you know, you play five games in 8 days, and you know, we play again tomorrow night at home against Milan. So, you know, essentially we're playing six games in 10 days, and doesn't leave you a whole lot of time to get some practice in and work on things that that hopefully will correct some of those mistakes. But like you said, we've been in every game, and you know, in the last minute and 30 seconds of every game, it's been a one possession situation, and we just got to figure out a way collectively how to get over the hump, and I think these kids will do that.
And I know one of those games was Greensburg, and then Greensburg, even though they lost to a Southport team that was undefeated, I think, at the time, and your score and Southport's score were about the same.
They were, and I thought we played awfully well against Greensburg. You know, as far as a complete game goes, we got off to a really good start. And played about as consistent as we've played all season long. But, you know, like I told some of the kids, you know, it came down to crunch time and we had to get a stop. And, you know, we weren't able to do that and just kind of kept trading baskets back and forth. And it would stay at 3 points to 1 point, 3 points to 1 point, and had a chance to tie it right at the end, and came up a little short and had a foul, which made it the final score of five. But thought our kids played extremely hard that night, and I think proved to themselves, hopefully, that we're close, and if we continue to work, I think we'll be the team that we expect to be.
Coach, tell us how many young men you got out for basketball in the program, and then who are letter winners, and then who are on your varsity.
Okay, we have 26 kids right now. That includes our C team, JV, and varsity. Our varsity consists of Sean Means, Brandon Borgman, Craig Adams, Garrett Wood, Weston Swango, Elijah Hoeing, Andrew Holloway, Cody Walter, and Trey Nobby. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have the services of Alex Stern this season. You know, unfortunately, he tore his ACL during football, and kind of shows what kind of kid he is. He played five games with the torn ACL, and wasn't aware of it until after the football season. But, you know, he's got his surgery scheduled, so we've got a great group of kids. You know, they're all seniors. They've played together for a long, long time. I'm extremely confident that they're going to come together and figure this thing out as players and us as coaches. And I think once we do, we're going to see the benefits of their hard work pay off.
And double trouble, not only for Alex there, but for you as well, because I think he played point guard for you last year, didn't he?
He did. He's actually been starting for us as since he was a sophomore, and you know, the latter half of the season when he was a freshman, he started for us at point guard. So when you take one of your better defenders and obviously a terrific decision maker and ball handler off the floor, it's going to take some time to adjust. And you know, we have kids kind of playing a couple different positions that's going to make it tough on them, and they're figuring it out as they go. But as I alluded to, I really think this team will figure it out, and still feel that we're going to have a terrific season ahead of us.
Fortunately for you, I think these games early, they haven't been conference games, have they?
Actually, Saturday night we had a conference game, yeah. And you know, like we told the kids, you know, you have to win out now at this point, because our job is to take care of ourselves and not rely on someone else. And I think we are more than capable of doing that. You know, it's been a tough stretch, you know, with these five games, and four of them have been on the road, and our lone home game was Greensburg, so, you know, it was going to be a formidable opponent at home. But I think we're learning a lot about ourselves, and I kind of knew that this was going to be a tough little stretch to start the season. But, you know, if we can take care of ourselves as far as the way the conference standings go, I think we'll be able to put ourselves in a position in February to at least share, if not win, a conference outright.
You got Milan tomorrow night, as you mentioned earlier. What else do you have before the Christmas break?
We play Triton Central on Saturday night at home. Triton's going to be a tough opponent as well, just as Milan is. You know, Triton's got a new coach this year. They're doing some things differently, obviously, than what their previous staff did. You know, we're going to focus on how things go with Milan and continue to work on getting better ourselves. And I think if we do that, it'll take care of some of the teams that we play.
I know Milan's got two or three fairly tall kids, I think in the 6'5 range, somewhere in there. How do you stack up size-wise against
them? And that's one thing. We are not a tall team, a team with a bunch of 6'4", 6'5 kids. Sean Means is our biggest kid at 6'4". But we do have, quite a few kids that run anywhere from 6'2 to 6'3, couple 6-foot guards, that have had some quite a few years of experience. So, we just have to continue to buckle down. And fortunately for us, we have been out-rebounding our opponents, but not necessarily at the clip that we feel that we need to continue to find success.
Coach, who's helping you with basketball?
I have a great group of assistants. PJ Metz is my JV coach again this year. Jason Spears is my varsity assistant. Those two have helped me for many years now. Lucas Hostedler is our freshman C team coach. This is his second year, and for as long as I can remember, Mark Moore has been on my staff ever since I've been at North Decatur, and he's my eighth grade coach. And Gary Cook, with the wealth of basketball knowledge he has, is our seventh grade coach. And we're just very blessed, very fortunate to have a great group of people around these kids.
I know that Gary's got a lot of wealth of talent because I coached against Gary for several years, and he's still going. So, yep. Coach, your reserves, how are they doing?
They've been a little bit more consistent. As far as a win-loss, they're 3-2. I still know that Coach Metz is looking for some more consistency there. We've got a lot of young kids. We've got five freshmen playing JV at different times, and you sprinkle in a few sophomores and a couple juniors. They're trying to figure each other out. They're starting to come together, starting to play a lot better. And I think as the year progresses, we're going to continue to see them have some success.
And I know you played at least one freshman game, because I think you played freshman played mm-hmm. Batesville, but you played any more freshman games?
We have. Our freshman team has played, as you mentioned, Batesville. I think we got beaten overtime maybe, or in a close game against Batesville. We got beat in overtime, I know, against Indian Creek, and we beat Rushville, and we beat East Central. So right now they're off to a good season and a good start. And most important thing is they're getting minutes, and these kids are getting an opportunity to get out there and play and get better because they're the future of our program.
And I know a couple of those young men are pretty tall, because I saw them in track last spring as junior high kids, and one of them, I think, he's either about 6'4 or somewhere in that range.
So. Yeah, Caden Gayheimer, he's a kid that's playing some C-team with us, but he's also dressing and getting a little bit of experience at the JV level, and we think he's got an opportunity to be a really good back-to-the-basket post player for us in the future.
I know he's got a future as a high jumper, because I think he didn't start till it was over like 5 foot or 5'2" last year in the junior highs.
Yep.
Coach, do you have any tournaments over the Christmas break, or you got off?
We do. We host our own tournament. We actually play Eastern Hancock in a regular season game on December 28th at home. And then we turn around, and the way the calendar has rolled forward this year, our holiday tournament has been pushed to January the 4th. And in that tournament, we host Rising Sun, Yorktown, and Salem. So we got a great group of teams coming in, very competitive. I think this is going to be another tremendous holiday tournament for us. And as I mentioned, it's on January 4th. It's all in one day. JV play as well. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning with the JVs playing, and we're awfully excited to be able to host this year in and year out.
Sounds like a great tournament, and I know bringing Salem in will be a team that your fans normally don't get a chance to see.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the exciting part about it.
Coach, anything else before we let you go this evening?
Well, I appreciate you having me down again, Ron, and look forward to seeing you again in January, and hope you have a tremendous Christmas and a great Happy New Year.
Same to you and same to your family, and wish your son the best of luck as he goes forward in not only this year but in college, and it sounds like he's off to a great start.
He is. Thank you very much.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 on your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with three meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
We are here for you. We are here for you.
Happy holidays from all of us at George's Pharmacy and Medical Equipment. We are here for you and your family and hope that George's Pharmacy can help you have a healthy and happy new year. Like us on Facebook or stop by one of our George's locations. Proud to be serving the community for over 35 years.
We are here for you.
Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep is a proud sponsor of local athletics. I'm Michelle Galk, and at Batesville Chrysler, we value this community and the relationships we've built with our customers. As your hometown car dealer, we understand the importance of staying connected to the community. We commend all our student athletes and their hard work and dedication. That's why we're proud to sponsor local sports coverage so that fans can stay connected no matter where we are. Remember, you can buy a car anywhere, but when you buy at Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, we can all work together to support the future of this great community.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Brian Helby, Batesville High School Girls Basketball Coach. Coach, I know you had the week off. We're able to use it for getting some things done and giving some girls some needed rest time.
Well, I hope yes and yes. I do hope that we did take advantage a little bit of some time off. Not a lot of time because we still have a lot of things we're striving to achieve, and you can't do that sitting at home. But it's also important for these young ladies, who, especially some of our two and three sport athletes, to catch a little bit of a break here and there. And so we dialed it back a little bit. Had a day off and did a lot of shooting, a lot of easier things to do, and then over the last few days, we've tried to ramp things up a little bit and kind of get back in that tempo that we want to be able to play. And obviously it's a bit of a work in progress still. We're still changing some things and looking at some different ways of doing things. And the girls have been very, very receptive to that. And we finally get a chance tomorrow night to go out and kind of see where we've gone since the last time we played.
How many of the young ladies will be able to play for you in the near future?
Well, I think we're down to just one injury. Bree Wells is still sitting out. She's got still a follow-up visit yet that she's got to get to. But as a matter of fact, I just left the C-team game. We're playing East Central tonight. And Carly Pride and Emma Weiler are getting some action there to try to get them kind of back in the mix a little bit. It'll be Carly's first time to really do anything other than just some practice work. So encouraged to start to get some of these folks back, and it's only going to help us in the long run. And they may not all be varsity players at this point, but what it does do, it sure makes it a lot better and more competitive in practice, a lot better for us in practice. Not to say that the girls that have been there, it just gets us a little deeper, and that helps. Legs don't get quite as tired in practice, and we can run people in and out, and it makes it a little bit better as we go against each other.
You got three games this week, as you mentioned. Tomorrow night is Franklin County, and then you got Greensburg and East Central, obviously two of the better teams in the EIAC coming up this weekend, and one of those, I think, is at home, and the other one's on the road.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be tomorrow night. We're looking forward to getting back at it, like I said. And we go to Franklin County, and we hope that, if we play well, I like where we're at right now. We just, we're doing a better job limiting some turnovers. We're doing a better job rebounding. And those are all things that we're going to have to do extremely well this week, especially with, going into a three-game week. having Greensburg at home, and then following up with East Central. I don't think anybody really wants that kind of a schedule. But you know what? They're all games we have to play. We're going to play them, and we're going to play hard and just kind of see what happens.
The Franklin County game tomorrow night, I know they won their last ball game. I can't think who it was against, but I know they had a win in their last game. Their record is pretty similar to yours.
Yeah, they beat South Ripley on Saturday, and then they've also beat Shelbyville. And you know, I watched the Shelbyville game, and I've watched a South Ripley game, and you know, and I like the way the matchups, and I'm sure they like their matchups too with us. So it should be a very, very competitive game. I do hope, though, that you know, if we come out and execute, that it's one that we can definitely have a chance.
The game on Friday night, I understand the Wilkinson girl is quite a ball player for Greensburg. I don't know what else they've got.
Well, they've got just about what most teams need. They've got athleticism, they've got some speed, and then they've got some size. So I guess you put all that together, and obviously they're a solid basketball team. And you know, we hope that if, you know, we do a lot of the things just a little bit better night in, night out, we're going to be pretty competitive. You know, I went and watched them play South Dearborn, and they, you know, they get after it. They're going to press you. They're going to do some things, and then that lets their athleticism kind of shine. And, you know, we're hopefully going to do some things, hopefully to counter those and give our athletes a chance to shine.
And then a game on Saturday, that's a boys-girls doubleheader.
Yes. So, yeah, we're going to, you know, we'll go to East Central and we'll take care of that. That'll be a fun atmosphere. Hopefully, you know, get both groups together. And I know that the girls always enjoy that, having that opportunity to play on that same day. It's a full day of basketball for us, and boys, girls for varsity and JV. So another good day.
And the C team, you said, is playing tonight. Did they play any games last week?
No, we've been off, and you know, we're getting back at it tonight. It helped having a couple girls that were able to play this evening. We're still, you know, with all of our injuries and things, and the remainder of our C team schedule is kind of a hit and miss, kind of how we're going to be able to do it, juggling quarters to the best we can, but you know, we're just not going to jeopardize, you know, something like that just to get an extra game in. But we were able to do it tonight, and I guess we'll make those decisions game by game.
Your tourney draw was held this week. I understand you drew South Ripley. Tell us about that and where that's going to be this year.
Well, we got the girls tournament's going to be at Jacksonville. Batesville, South Ripley will play in the first game, and then Milan and Jacksonville will follow up in game two. The boys tournament this year is going to be at Batesville. We'll play, the boys will play against South Ripley, same pairings, Milan, Jacksonville in the second game. So the girls will play Tuesday, Friday, and the boys will play Wednesday, Saturday with the Hall of Fame inductee recognition on Saturday.
And you mentioned that girls basketball coach on one half of your plate and tournament on the other. Besides the boys varsity, any other part of that tournament held at Batesville?
No, right, and that what will happen is the JV portion will be played Thursday at South Ripley, and then Milan will host the championship of the junior varsity side on Saturday. So what we've done over the last few years is try to spread it out where all four schools have something to host, which really kind of takes the pressure off a little bit. Plus, it allows the fan bases to have something at home to go to if they need to or they want to.
Your holiday tournament, as Coach Nalby said, the calendar rolled back this week. So your tournament is in January, but it's a little bit later in January than what it's been.
Yeah, you know, it does kind of create a little bit of a problem. We, at our Ripley County meeting just the other day, we talked about what are we going to do with inclement weather, because it is pushed back a little bit. We're going to have to be very, very careful on how we watch games, because a lot of the schools, the ORVC schools especially, have games right behind the tournament. So on, I think, Tuesday, they've got their regular season conference games are kicking in. So it'll make a little bit of a difference, but, you know, for the most part, everybody pencils this one in. It's still a great atmosphere. It's still very competitive. I personally think it's just one of the better tournaments in around this area for sure, and probably this part of the state.
And I think it's the longest-running consecutive tournament in the state of Indiana, or one of the longest-running ones in the state of Indiana.
I think it is, too, and I guess you know that's sure a testament to the how important basketball is in this area.
I know when I started coaching, it was held at Batesville in the old gym, and people that have been in that gym know that there's not a lot of seating in that old gym. And they used to line up an hour before the doors opened just to get near the gym to get in, and there were never any tickets left. They hoped there were, but there were never any tickets left over.
Yeah, it's still pretty well attended. Obviously, just like all sporting events, attendance has waned a little bit and dropped off a little bit. But, you know, the last few years, we've started to bump up the ticket sales again, and hopefully this will be a good year. I encourage you, you know, everybody to come out, and if you haven't had an opportunity to see either the girls' side or the boys' side, it's a great opportunity. You know, one ticket, $15, gets you in every game you want to see in the Ripley County Tournament. So it's a great bargain if you want to watch a lot of basketball in a short period of time.
And there, when you hear, I'm going to name the tournament, or the all the I'll get it, the Hall of Fame group here at the end of the show tonight. And when you see, there's a lot of people that a lot of people know, and it will be a good to get out there, especially for that final night, because of the people going into the Hall of Fame this year in this area. Coach, anything else for the Christmas break that you will have for the girls?
No, we come back to right after Christmas, and we play Friday night. We play Connersville, and then we turn right around the next day and play at Franklin in the Walt Raines Classic. So we'll have a couple days in there, but we're going to be practicing through Christmas break for the most part, and our season just continues to just fly by. It's hard to believe.
Coach, best of luck in the games this week and over the Christmas break and New Year's break, because we won't see you now until January, because we're taking the 2 weeks off for the Christmas break as well.
Very good. You deserve a time off.
Thank you, and best of luck, and we'll see you in January.
All right. Thank you.
And we will be back after these words from our sponsor. Listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9, your FM dial, and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with three meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone, or downtown Batesville.
Fall's perfect for getting cozy. And that makes it the perfect time to call Hurt & Elko for a new Lennox home comfort system. And right now, receive a rebate of up to $1,600 on your qualifying Lennox purchase. Call Hurt & Elko at 812-934-4646 today. That's 812-934-4646 or hurt-elko.com for the perfect sale on a system that can make you comfortable this season and throughout the entire year. Lennox. Innovation never felt so good.
Give the gift of life. Give blood. Whether it goes to an accident victim or a premature baby, the need for blood is constant. Join Margaret Mary Health and Hawksworth Blood Center for a blood drive on Thursday, January 2nd from 8 to 5 in a donor bus outside the hospital. Before donating, be sure to eat a healthy meal and drink plenty of fluids. To schedule an appointment, call 812-933-5274.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Tyler Teasing, South Ripley Boys Basketball Coach. And Coach, how are things going so far for the Raiders?
Not too bad. We started year 3-1 so far. The best part of it, we finally got everybody back. We started the season kind of unhealthy. Dakota Day had ankle issues, and Bryce Franklin had knee surgery, but we finally got Dakota Day back about last week, and then Bryce Franklin played his first game of the season on Saturday.
Sounds like getting him back just in time for the Christmas rush and then for the county tourney.
Yeah. You know, and around here, the county tourney is something special, and it's always nice to have everybody back, just, you know, to have a good showing. And I think we have a team that can, you know, just like everybody else in the county, that can possibly make a run at this thing.
Tell us about how many young men you got out for basketball this year and how many of them lettered for you last year on the varsity.
We got almost everybody back. We only graduated two seniors last year. Those two seniors, they contributed a little bit, but for the most part, we got all of our scoring back. We got a lot of length. We got six seniors this year: Aaron Grivey, Sam Evans, Eric Figures, Dakota Day, Connor McCarty, and Corey Ralston. All of which lettered, except for Dakota Day, who is a move-in from Indian Creek. Cody Samples, Bryce Franklin, all names that we've all heard before. And then Jaden Peets, who has never played a varsity basketball game and is one of our stars this year. And then we also have our little point guard, Zach Gentile, who, you know, is turning to be one of my favorite guys on the defense end because he's just a pesky little kid that just knows how to get his hands on a lot of basketballs.
And I assume that was his sister who played on the girls team and played the same way?
Mariah, yep. And I've heard she played the exact same way. And like I said, on the defense end, I love watching him play just because he's quick and he's pesky.
Tell us about, you mentioned some of your starters, mentioned all of your starters, and then who is helping you with basketball?
You know, we've been rolling with the same starting five for the past four games. As of now, I don't see that ever changing. But senior-wise, you know, we got Aaron Grivey. He's considered one of our better defensive players, along with Zach Gentile. Long, 6'3", 6'4", just really caused a lot of problems on the defense end for people. Sam Evans, who saw significant minutes last year but has really filled in a big void for us, and that's that physical edge and inside, and he's really embraced that role. Cody Samples, you know, he's a kid that can really fill it up. He's struggling as of late, but I know with all his hard work he's put in the offseason, I know he's going to start finding that form again. And then, you know, you got Jaden Peets, who, like I said, has never played a varsity game before, but he's really starting to figure out, you know, how to really play with the group of guys that we have. And then Zach Gentile, our point guard, our defensive pesk, a guy that gets his hands on a lot of basketballs and starts a lot of fast break opportunities for us.
And I think if I remember right, when they mentioned the starting lineup in the game that I listened to on radio, you got some relatively good size.
Yeah, and across the board, really, whether it's our bench or, you know, our starters, you know, you have, like I said, Aaron Grivey's about 6'4", long. Sam Evans is 6'3", kind of stockier, but also very long. Jaden Peets, he is probably pushing 6'5 and has the longest arms I've ever seen. He reminds me a lot of what's his name from Oldenburg?
Jake Johnson. Yeah,
just for how long he is, long and skinny. I joke with him all the time because he knows Jake pretty well, and I say, you know, you look a lot like him, but unfortunately you don't play like him. You know, and like I said, Dakota Day has some decent size. Corey Ralston's also 6'4 and long. So, you know, we got some decent size. I wish we could shoot the ball better at times, but so far, you know, it's working out for us.
How are your reserves doing, Coach?
A lot better. They are 2-2 on the year. They just they lost to Brownstown on Saturday. Didn't play exactly the best I've ever seen them play, but I know they're going to bounce back. They have we actually got a legit our JV team finally. Last year, because of our numbers, we had to throw a lot of freshmen into the fire, but a lot of those kids are back this year, and actually they compete now at a level that they should compete at.
Are you able to play any C team or freshman games?
Unfortunately not. I really thought this year that our numbers would be a lot better than they were last year. I think we could have maybe pushed for one, but what I was afraid that we were going to run into a quarter problem with some of them, and it's kind of unfortunate because we do have some freshmen that I really like to see get some minutes because I think it would really benefit them, but just with our numbers, we just couldn't make it work. But I really do think that, you know, with the program that we are starting to develop, I think we're going to have better numbers going forward to where we'll actually have at least a C team, if not a freshman team.
And Coach, I'm pretty sure you got a holiday tournament coming up too.
We're holding another tournament this year. It's a little different. We've decided to just go to a 14 tournament. Last year, I wasn't crazy about the way our tournament was, just because the way it fell with the Ripley County tournament. But with the calendar flipping, I heard you guys mention that before. We actually have a nice little break in there. Play a couple games, give our guys enough rest before we really kick it into January and February. In that tournament, we have Shelbyville, Indianapolis Chatard and also Rock Creek. So with that tournament, I really try to get a 4A, 3A, 2A in us, and also Rock Creek, which is a 1A school.
And Coach Mormon was telling us that Chatard this year has got some real basketball players that in the past, I think they've had football players playing basketball, but he says they got some real basketball players this year. So
yes, and I believe does Oldenburg play Chatard on Friday?
Yes,
right?
They do. Yeah,
I'm probably going to go watch that game because I think that's the only time I can go watch Chatard and Oldenburg. That fact, but I haven't had a chance to see him yet. I know last year we played him pretty tough, but you know, you never know with some of these Indianapolis schools. You know, kids come and go. They have different kids every year. So it's going to be interesting to see what they look like, and I'm sure Oldenburg will give them all that they can handle.
And the rest of your schedule before Christmas, how many other games do you have?
We actually play Shaw Memorial on Wednesday. We go to Shaw, and then we have a really tough game in South Decatur on Saturday. I don't know if you've been watching many of their scores, but I'm pretty sure they're averaging about 88 points a game. South Decatur and Milan played last Friday, and it was probably one of the most exciting games I've watched in a really long time in this area. Just back and forth, constant scoring. It was to the point where I was trying to do a shot chart, and I couldn't even keep up. So finally I just gave up, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to be a fan and just watch because this is pretty exciting. They can really fill it up. They really try to turn you over, speed you up, because all they want to do is really score. And then we have a nice little long break because of Christmas, and then January 4th is our holiday tournament on Saturday, and our first game is against Shelbyville.
When Oldenburg Academy played South Decatur, I think the first game of the year, that score was 95-93, and it wasn't overtime. And Coach Mormon said if South Decatur went more than 8 seconds without scoring, he doesn't remember it. So
exactly. Yep. They want to score and score and score some more.
And they've got a veteran coach that's been through the war, so I would imagine he's kind of playing well.
Yes. Yes, he does. You know, I've been very impressed with the ability of them to score. So one of our big concerns in that game coming Saturday, you know, is going to find a way to slow them down, which I don't know if we can do it, but we're sure going to try. But first and foremost, we got to worry about Shaw on Wednesday.
Coach, anything else before we let you go this evening?
Nope. I just want to say thank you. I always enjoy coming here and talking with you. And it's one of those things, I said it yesterday, as a kid, I've always listened to this show, and it's always been, you know, kind of cool, you know, just finally being on the show again. And anytime you need me, just give me a holler.
I will do. And we didn't mention the county attorney, but it was mentioned before. You drew Batesville, so you'll be playing the first game against Batesville in the county attorney, and that will be at Batesville this year.
Yeah. It's actually kind of exciting because I didn't realize this, but I think it's been about 4 years since South Ripley has actually played Batesville. So it's kind of a bit of a new opponent, I guess you want to say. So I'm excited. I know Batesville, you know, it's Batesville. It's going to be they're a really good team, well coached. So it's going to be interesting, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, we can give them all that they can handle and we come out with a win.
Well, Coach, best of luck with their team before the county attorney and that as well. And we'll be seeing you at the county attorney, if not before.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
And have a great Christmas and New Year's with you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
We will be back after these words from our sponsor. You listen to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9 on your FM dial and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with 3 meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone or downtown Batesville.
Hello, this is Ty Fleetwood, sales manager from Tom Sibbett Chevrolet Buick, and it is time for our holiday sales event, the Chevy employee discount for everyone. You pay what we pay. At Tom Sibbett Chevrolet Buick, we are offering employee pricing. That's right, you pay what we pay, not a penny more. Take advantage of employee pricing on all 2019 Chevrolets or 2020 Chevrolet Equinox, Impala, Sonic, Spark, and Trax. If you prefer Buick, take advantage of 17% off an Enclave, 17% off an Envision, or 25% off an Encore. That's right, employee savings on these Chevrolets and Buicks through January 2nd at Tom Sibbett Chevrolet Buick. Purchase a new Chevrolet or Buick and receive free oil changes for the life of the vehicle. Tom Sibbett Chevrolet Buick, home of the free oil change for life. Stop in, see what has changed, and give us an opportunity to earn your business. As always, thank you for shopping at Tom Sibbett Chevrolet Buick.
Fall's here, and that means chilly weather's on the horizon. Before cold extremes put your furnace to the test, put Hurd and Elko to work and get up to $1,600 off a qualifying Lennox home comfort system. Hurd and Elko can make your home's air feel perfectly comfortable this season and throughout the year. Call Hurd and Elko at 812-934-4646 today. That's 812-934-4646 or hurt-elco.com and get the best out of fall with Hurt and Elko and Lennox. Call now.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Ison's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in Southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We're back, and joining us now is Aaron Garrett, Bates High School boys basketball coach. And Coach, a tough weekend for the Bulldogs. I know on Friday night you did not shoot well, and according to the game I listened to on radio, maybe the refereeing got a little bit shaky in the second half, and then I was not able to listen to the Campbell County game. Tell us about those two games.
Yeah, it was a double weekend, our first double weekend. Both were on the road. Friday night at Lawrenceburg, typical Lawrenceburg game. We took a lead into halftime, and then both games, the third quarter got away from us. And Friday night, we just ran out of some scoring. Now, some of that was because of our shot selection. Part of that was Lawrenceburg playing really good defense. And on the other end, the senior unit especially, he had a very, very nice game against us. Our goal was coming in was to hold the two Yoon brothers to 25 points combined. They're averaging about 42.5 a game coming in combined. We had them 29, but the older unit had 27 of them. And just had some tough finishes, and quite frankly, there were a number of possessions where I couldn't complain too much defensively, except the fact that I guess we let him catch it. But other than that, we walled up. If he drove and he finished over us, we had a hand up in position in a stance, and wasn't getting any space, but he even drilled a couple threes over what I felt was some pretty good defensive positioning. So just a tough character. I've talking about the game, I've enjoyed watching him play. Don't like coaching against him, but in terms of just guard play and his motor, his effort, his skill set, really a kid I enjoy watching play. And they had some other kids step up. In terms of they've got some good length, some good height, so we let that get to us when we shouldn't have in regards to our game plan. And quite frankly, we didn't shoot very well. We had some mistakes, as you're going to have early in the season, but We still had a chance to potentially get out of there with a win down the road late in the game, but ultimately did not get it done. And Colt played well for us, and he played well for us all weekend and created some things. And overall, some things we emphasized going into the game, we did okay on. Did not do perfectly on it. And what we're learning is we're going through a process, and I showed the boys a clip today, and turns out we watched film from the weekend, breaking down what we have to improve upon, what we must do better. I show them another clip as far as you can't cheat the process. We've got to go through the process. The process is the most important aspect that you have going, and there's just some things you have to grow through, you have to learn through. It's not easy. We could be sitting here talking, and I firmly believe this, we could be sitting here talking about a 4-0 record instead of a 1-3 record. So we've got to get those things fixed. And Saturday, we had a quick turnaround time. So get home from Lawrenceburg late on Friday, had a shoot around at our normal 11 o'clock time so the boys could sleep, and then we were back on the bus at 2:15 to go down to South Dearborn for the first tri-state shootout. And that was a neat event in terms of just seeing some teams before us, after us, that we don't see obviously in this state, because the team before us was from near Dayton, Ohio. Then we played Campbell County down from Kentucky. And Campbell County won 34 games last year. Their coach was telling me they have 1,700 kids in their school. I think we have close to 700. So really good matchup for us in terms of skill set and length and athleticism. And we jumped out and played really well in the first half. Went to halftime with a 12-point lead and shot the ball really well. Shot with more confidence, got better looks, earned better looks. And in the third quarter, again, we It's not so much that we didn't score. We just allowed them to score way too much. They put a 25-point third quarter on us. And again, they had the kid's last name was Gross. He was a senior guard. And very similar to you the night before, to where what we were doing defensively wasn't enough to deter him, because he had 4 points at halftime. We did a really nice job on him in the first half. Then second half in overtime, he had 16 combined to end with 20. And a couple times we did really nice defensively, a defensive job on him. They really lit us up in the second half from three. And some of it was off miscues, or as I showed the boys today, when we talk about positioning, and not even every foot's important, every space is important. Even how you angle your body sometimes is important. And we're nowhere near where we need to be there with that yet. So they had a weave offense that a couple times we weren't communicating early enough. We got a late switch, which put a defender behind, and a defender has to help in the gap. And just that step helping into the gap, because we're not going to give up a layup. And when it was pitched out for three, they sure made us pay. So I think we set a 1-point lead at the end of the third. They get up to, I think, up over 5-point lead there late. So we're fouling. We're fouling to get back in it. And through some fouling, through us making some shots, them missing some free throws, we rebounding, we're in our execution, we're actually able to get the thing in overtime. And you've seen this happen before. And I gave Sam Vaguely a hard time today in film, because we get a missed free throw rebound, and we're coming up. And at that point, there is, I think, 9 seconds left. And Colt has the ball, but they're starting to rush him. I didn't feel good about what we had going. And I'm usually one, and it's always, I don't have any set formula for this, but in terms of if I let a play go versus calling a timeout to set something up, I've always go by feel. And I've had some pretty much good fortune with going by that. And the ball was in our best player's hands. But I did not feel confident he was going to be able to get a very clean 3-point look off. So I was calling timeout. As I called timeout, Colt passes it to Sam, and Sam hears this call timeout. And he throws from the deep sideline off, right from our bench off one leg, throws a shot at the basket that goes in. So, of course, I'm sure our fans over in the Batesville section are, oh, goodness, Coach Garrett, look what you cost us. But all was good. We drew up a play. Execute it really well, and I mean it had Colt as the primary guy, but it was designed in a way to where, and as they did, they not only took two guys with Colt, the guy from the inbounder actually tried to deny him as well, which from there our guys played basketball. We got the one more look we needed, and in the deep corner off of one more pass from Charlie Dye, Sam Bailey indeed hit another three to tie it up. And overtime, we scored in the very first possession of overtime, a really nice pass to RJ cutting to the basket. RJ scores, put up two. But then, going into overtime, Leighton had already fouled out. In overtime, Eli Pearson, who reminded me to come back and talk about Eli here in a minute, he fouls out. And then Colt fouled out. And when Colt fouled out, that made our odds of being successful really diminish. And then Charlie Dice fouled out. So in overtime, we had four guys fouled out. And that's not a commentary on the officiating. I thought the official did a really nice job in that game in terms of how they called it. They were consistent. But when we fouled to get ourselves two in overtime, that obviously racked up the fouls in some of our guys, and that came back to haunt us in the overtime as some calls were made. But as I told the guys in the film session, we got better. We took definitely a step closer and step further forward in our process to where we have to get to way I think we can compete and win games. Not just win games, but I think that Campbell County team was every bit as good as Greensburg in terms of the offensive weaponry they put on the floor. They don't have a Wellage at his size, but they had some size, and they had a multitude of guys that could all hit threes. And that's what we'll have to cover up against Greensburg as we play them for the conference in January, then obviously in our sectional. So very, very pleased with the weekend outside of not getting two wins. And as you get older, Coach, and as you get more experience, still not happy by any means, but I do have a piece about it in terms of guys, they're playing hard. And you know, if you have that as your number one recipe, I can identify the things, I can see things where we're making mistakes, and quite frankly, some of that's not going to get cleaned up until we get more experience, we get more tested under fire. We can't do anything about injuries, but I do feel if Thomas Raver is available this weekend, we probably win both those games, just with the skill set and the extra body and the length that he brings to us. But overall, happy with the guy's attitude. We had a very honest film session today. And even Colt, who was coming off, I think he scored 27 or maybe even 29 on Saturday. Shot the ball really well from deep, had some good driving in ones, and played really well. There's a lot of room for improvement for Colt Meyer. So if Colt Meyer has room for improvement for coming off that kind of game, Sam Vegli had a double-double. He had 20 points, and I think he ended up with either 13 or 14 rebounds. So Sam played really well. We'll get there. There's no doubt we'll get there. I really like this team in terms of nothing affects their effort. We just got to get to the point where we can finish all the way through a defensive possession. We can finish all the way through an offensive possession and get a tough score, or hit the counter movement we have in place to get a score, and quite frankly, just continue to build skills. We hit some open shots this weekend in both games where if we knock those down, we probably come away with the win in terms of making defensive pay for overloading on Colt.
Besides the two players you've already mentioned, who else played well for the Bulldogs?
Eli Pearson got thrown into the fire in terms of with Thomas going down, we carved out some quarters for him. And on Saturday, there was not a JV game. So both Eli and Calvin Sherwood were able to dress for the varsity game, as well as some other JV guys. But those two, I could use them at my disposal. And it just so happened with where foul trouble came from, Eli Pearson, which Eli's a sophomore for us, but he's pretty long, and he's a very, very good athlete in terms of just his foot speed, his quickness, his lateral quickness, but also his length. And he just plays hard. So he was thrown into the fire and played very, very meaningful minutes. There was times where he was guarding their best player, and even late in the fourth, as Leighton got in foul trouble, we had Eli on Gross, Camel County's best player. The best thing about Eli is in the second quarter, we had some ball movement, we had some reversals. He gets a three, and he hit the three. But the most important thing about that is a sophomore getting thrown into varsity game, he was willing to take the three. And then late game in the fourth, we pushed the ball up the floor. And again, I think it was Charlie Dice made the extra pass up the floor. And Campbell County transitioned down. They stopped us, but then Eli hit a pretty athletic, tough shot against him and finished. So to see a sophomore doing that, especially on that stage, we can't control injuries, but as injuries happen or sickness happens, it's just an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to develop another style of play, another go-to person. In this case, a couple guys with Eli and Calvin that got some varsity minutes that will serve us well as we go down the road. And this overall, same story in terms of we collectively rebound. Like I said, Sam really led the way Saturday. But offensively, we looked better offensively in terms of there wasn't as much standing around. And our movement was better, whereas the week before against Greensburg, very, very stagnant. And I think a lot of that was fatigue. But with Colt back, Colt's got a pretty good motor, and he moves really well for us. So that opens up. I know Charlie had some open looks. We gotta get Leighton back in the groove where he not only gets open looks, but he definitely takes the open looks as good a shooter as he is. And then RJ had a better weekend. Now, I told this to RJ today in film. I think our next big step as a team will be when RJ takes his next big step as a player. And right now, RJ wants the Bulldogs to do so well, I think he's pressing it a little bit in terms of trying to take some awfully tough shots where we can probably get a better shot, or quite simply just being too hard on himself when he does make a mistake or when something does break down defensively and he's involved with it. So I think as he continues to mature, because, yeah, he played for me a lot last year as a sophomore, but he was probably most games, maybe the fifth man on the scouting report, or definitely the fourth or fifth man. And now teams know to ratchet it up because he's one of the guys that's a difference maker. So it's going to be fun to watch him. Like I said, he had a good weekend. He had a better weekend than the week prior, and that's all I ask. It's going to be fun to see him continue to blossom and get over this hump, this obstacle he's facing right now. And that's always fun to watch kids persevere and fight through those.
Coach, you got a home game and away game this week, Milan on Thursday night, and people listening in, make sure that you know that that's Thursday night, and then you got the East Central boys and girls doubleheader on Saturday.
Yeah, both very good opponents, and I know records, we're all sitting at one and whatever, but been close games. Milan's been right there with a number of teams. They beat Franklin County to start the year, and they've got a lot of experience back from last year, and they can really score. And you know this, Coach, I'll see them live tomorrow because there's a makeup game where they have to play at North Decatur tomorrow. But they'll get things put together on our home floor. I mean, they'll come in against the county rival, and those kids have pride. Quite a few of them were on the successful Milan football team, so they love Milan. They bleed blue and yellow. or sorry, black and gold, not blue and yellow, but black and gold in terms of their pride for their school. So there's no doubt. I told the guys today, we will get a very spirited, a very well-coached, a very good Milan team that we're going to take care of in terms of how we want to do things, be able to get a chance to get that win. And then Saturday provides an entirely different obstacle in terms of a team that's built around Collinsworth, who is just a massive body inside that also happens to be skilled in some players that absolutely can play around him. And I know East Central's only got one win, but they've played quite the schedule. So it'll be good. Two more good wins, or two more good opportunities to try to get back on the winning streak in terms of Milan at home and East Central on the road. And as you know, I mean, December basketball is so important, but when we get into January and February, it's not going to necessarily be the win-loss record from December, but more so, what did you learn in December? What steps forward did you take as individuals, as a team, as a group? That's what I challenged my guys with today. Continue with the process. Build up some sweat equity. And I'm not sure we have enough guys building up some sweat equity. I know we work them very, very hard in the time we have together in terms of, and they give me a lot of time. And they sure give me a lot of effort. But where are they building up sweat equity in terms of the YMCA or shooting before school in terms of free throws or getting shots up? And that's where I think this group has to continue to learn to, you're going to get out of this game, what do you put into it? And we'll continue to get them to put more into it.
The reserves only played on Friday night. How'd they do?
They, Coach, it's even a new gym down there, but we still have some of the same shooting woes that we had in the previous gym. I think that's got mostly to do with the opponent. I mean, the Lawrenceburg Tigers played really, really hard on their home court, and the JV guys could not get things to fall. And then the Lawrenceburg plays, I would say, at least five kids that play meaningful varsity minutes also play a quarter or two in the JV game. So it was good for our JV team to go up against some of that caliber. But it just so happened where Lawrenceburg got about a 10-point lead on us. And we played them even the second half, but never could get any, really couldn't cut into their lead. But the good thing is, taking some guys, Calvin set some time on Friday, Eli set some time on Friday, so you're taking out some big pieces where other guys had to step up. So it's, again, that opportunity comes at the JV level, and I'm needing to take one of their bodies at the varsity level. So they competed well, just didn't execute well and get some shots to go down, and they did take a loss on the road Friday at Lawrenceburg.
Did the freshmen play any games since we last talked?
Freshmen also played at Lawrenceburg. They got beat down there, but that was the only game since we talked, if I'm remembering correctly. But it's always a kind of a neat event where we can take all three of our teams, and next year Lawrenceburg will bring all three of their teams here, as we've done. So it's kind of a way for fans to see all the teams at one location.
Coach, you drew South Ripley in a tournament. We won't talk before then, but talk about that. And do you have another game the Christmas week? Or no, you have one in between, right?
Yeah, our schedule is switched again. We don't have Union County after East Central. That got pushed to the end of the season on us. But we play Whiteland, which Whiteland will be a brand-new opponent for us, a bigger school. We will play them between – everything's pushed back this year, so that week after New Year's, we'll play Whiteland and the Ripley County Attorneys the week after that. And as you know, very, very – the longest county tournament in the state of Indiana in terms of the Ripley County Tournament, always done very well. The historical part's taken well care of in terms of documentation. And just a lot of excitement around the Ripley County Tourney. And I think if you were to look at records right now, it's a very open field on both boys and girls' side. Nobody's really separated themselves. South Ripley on the boys' side has had the best start in terms of record-wise. I've seen every team play now that's in the county. We'll obviously see Milan up close and personal on Thursday. We play Jacksonville to start the year. I've scouted South Ripley against Jacksonville. And all the teams pose different issues for us. South Ripley, who will play in the first game, well-coached. I think Coach Teasing is a bright young coaching star in this area in terms of just how he runs a program, and I was very impressed with what he did last year. And not only basketball-wise, but some things discipline-wise, some things, what he expects of those players. I think South Ripley basketball is in really good hands, and that provides a challenge for us because South Ripley's huge compared to us. Now, but what to do is try to do some things to take away the advantage they have with that size, do some things that we're good at, that they'll have to deal with, and see if that can get us to the championship game on the Saturday night. I think that other side of the bracket, I think Milan and Jacksonville will be a well of ball game to watch, too, in terms of how those players match up and the skill sets on each team. Should be a very fun Ripley County tournament. And on the girls' side, I think it's wide open, too. I know Batesville took Jacksonville to the wire at Jacksonville just a couple weeks ago, and hopefully both the boys and girls team for the Bulldogs will be healthy by then. Neither one of us have been healthy all the way through yet in terms of some different people and players, and hopefully that'll will ring in the new year with full squads and have some health.
Coach, you and your team and your family, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll obviously see you between now and then, but we won't see you back here until January 6th.
Yeah, excited for the break. On the 23rd, we'll have our free throw-a-thon we're doing. We're going to have a Christmas gathering, and then we'll end that day on the 23rd by taking the entire program to the Pacers game. So that's always fun to just develop connections and relationships, build those off the floor. And a quick reminder about Thursday night. We've taken the banner that's in the gym that is just awesome, and we've created posters out of those, a smaller poster akin to the size of the team poster. We've done an autograph night the last several seasons. And we've also done a very nice, kind of like a vinyl poster that's much larger that we'll have for sale again on Thursday's game. Because a lot of people have messaged me, emailed me, and contacted me about, will those posters be for sale again? They will, and our parent clubs will be gracious enough where they'll even have them for sale as people are leaving on Thursday. Because the bigger poster, that's awfully nice. They just don't want to simply lug those around during the game. But those are very, very nice quality. And just a lot of tradition and history. You are in those pictures, which is awesome. And a lot of good young men who we've both coached, watched play the game of basketball. It was just, again, all the credit goes to Terry Giesing in terms of having the idea, putting the collage together, and coming up with that logo. But those will be a for sale again. And our 100-year T-shirts will also be for sale again on that Thursday's home game.
And I'll guarantee you'll have a lot of fun if you followed Batesville basketball, trying to figure out who some of these faces are and some of these older photographs in there, and putting things together. And I know we've got two of the posters at home, one of the bigger ones and one of the smaller ones, and we've been looking at them and trying to figure out how many of the players we know and who they are. And after looking at them a while, some even with a magnifying glass, and we've find some features, and we finally figure out who they are.
Yeah, we're blessed to have such a good program, such a good tradition, and so many good coaches and players that have went through, and to put so many different decades of that greatness in one place is awesome.
And one of those coaches is going into the Hall of Fame this year. I just noticed in the paper that Kirby Oberman is going into the Hall of Fame this year, so another notch on Batesville's basketball history.
Yeah, Coach Oberman had success here in a short time here, and then went on to win a state title at New Albany and much more success even beyond that. So he was a Bulldog for a short while, but still a Bulldog nonetheless, and yeah, he's going into the Indiana Hall of Fame this year.
Unfortunately, three of the players on that team are deceased. It would be great to see that whole team back again.
It sure would.
Coach, we'll see you at the ball game on Thursday, and we'll see you on January 6th back on the show.
Happy holidays to you, and much health and happiness to you and Sally in the new year.
Same to you and your family.
Thank you.
We will be back for a final word after these words from our sponsor. You're listening to Coach's Corner on WRBI 103.9, your FM dial, and streaming live on WRBIRadio.com. We will be right back.
Cecil Eisen from Eisen's Family Pizza. We ask you to legalize marinara, and that was such an amazing response from you, our customers. So now we are asking you to not be Alfredo and try our new pasta. We have your choice of rigatoni, spaghetti, or cheese ravioli. We offer our delicious marinara or Alfredo. You can top them with three meat options for an additional charge. Try the chicken, meatballs, or sausage bites. Eisen's Family Pizza on the web, 812-933-0333 on the phone, or downtown Batesville.
Now, back to Coach's Corner at Eisen's Family Pizza on the Sports Voice in southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI.
We are back. We thank our guests for coming in, the coaches for coming in this evening. We thank Eisen's for allowing us to be here, of course. And we want to thank John for getting us on the air and keeping us on the air. We want to thank our sponsors who make all this possible. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the Ripley County Basketball Hall of Fame has its new class for 2020 listed. They will be introduced on January 11th between the county tournament games, and then the banquet is on the 11th of March. Those members are Craig Cutter, Milan, 1979. Rick Ehrman, Batesville, 1989. Marcy Dickman Balmer, Jacksonville, 1992. Jason Gambrell, South Ripley, 1992. James Horseman, Sunman, 1972. Nick Rolfing, Jacksonville, 1974. And Meritorious Service Award goes to Ray Barley. Played at New Marion, graduated in 1963. Has been at Milan ever since he got out of college until he retired. Is still very active. He's president of the Ripley County Basketball Hall of Fame and does a lot with the Milan 1954 basketball team along with his wife and the museum. So come out and enjoy them, and congratulations to all those people. We want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, because as we said, this is our final show for 2019. We'll start back in 2020 on January 6th. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for keeping us in tune with basketball here in southeastern Indiana. Good night, everyone.
Sports voice in southeastern Indiana, Country 103.9 WRBI. Thank you for listening to Coach's Corner, southeastern Indiana's top local sports show, live from Ison's Family Pizza in Batesville. See you next time.